Dear brothers and sisters, a very good morning to each and every one of you. As all of us are aware, today is a very special day. It's Palm Sunday. It's one of the more important days in our Christian calendar. Not only it corresponds with the Jewish Passover time, but it also speaks about the final week of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe when you were reading the scriptures, you would have observed in the Gospels that the Gospels have actually spoken a lot about the final or the week of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, when you look at John gives half of his Gospel to that one week, sometimes known as the Passion Week. Matthew gives 1/4 of the Gospel because Matthew sees the importance of the final journey of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark, on the other hand, he gives 1/3 of the entire Gospel, and Luke gives 1/5 of the Gospel. You know, it's very interesting when you add up all the chapters of the Gospel, it makes up around 89 chapters of the Gospel. You know, interestingly, 30 chapters is given to the last week of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may ask, what is so special about this day? What's its importance and also its relevance to our everyday life? Today we want to spend on the theme called Behold, Your King is Coming to You, from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time to draw lessons from God's Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word that is given to us. We thank You, Lord, because Your Word is so powerful. It enriches us, it encourages us, it empowers us, Lord, and it becomes a light to our path. And so, Lord, we pray as we spend our time together, we pray, God, that we will, our hearts and minds will be open to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Very recently, I came across a story of a young girl, just 4 years old. She accompanied a grandmother to a big church, and this was her first visit to a church. She sat quietly, you know, in the every aspects of the service, and she was also very attentive, just curious what was happening. You know, the grandmother was so pleased with her. When the pastor was doing his pastoral prayer, he was almost concluding his prayer by saying, "Lord, we thank You for Your presence." And immediately, the girl's eye flew open. She whispered to her grandmother and said, "Grandma, we are going to get presents today. You know, we are going to get presents today." You know, what an excitement of this young, innocent child. When she heard the word presents, she was expecting little presents, and she was so excited. In today's passage, we see the same excitement in this city. Imagine a city in Jerusalem. It's a very small city. It's 1 square mile. But with a population of 2 million people just gathered for the annual Passover, there was excitement. People from different regions, different cultures, and even languages were coming together because they just want to remember the Passover where God saved them from the slavery. But this year is going to be a different year for them. You know why? Because Jesus is going to be there. And so we see a lot of excitement. This Jesus, who's known to them as a great teacher, the one who came and did a lot of miracles, the one who fed their needs, the one who gave them food, and was also healing the sick. And Jesus is here. And there was this excitement. And you read in the passage, they were shouting and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Can you see the excitement, the joy, the celebrative mood in these people? When people were asking, "Who is this Jesus?" they said, "This is the prophet of Nazareth." What a powerful group of people in a very celebrated move. They were hoping that this Jesus would save them from the Roman rule. And today, when you look at this particular passage, I believe you have heard a lot of sermons. At the same time, you have read these passages over and over again. But let's draw once again some practical lessons and its relevance for us today. In Mark chapter 11, the first thing that we realize when Jesus comes into the city, one of the things that we know, the first thing is the Lord knows the path before us. The Lord knows the path before us. Let's read a couple of verses from Mark chapter 11. It says, as they approached, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one have ever ridden. You know, untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the master needs it and will send it back here shortly. Interesting, the disciples, they went. It says in verse 4, they went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered, as Jesus has told them, and the people let them go. It is very interesting. Can you imagine? They just go to a place, and Jesus said, you need to go here. You will find a colt, and bring it to me. This colt have not been used at all. And people will be asking you questions, and you say, the master needs it. You know, when I was looking at this particular passage, I realized, you know, Jesus knew the specifics very well, my friend. He knew where to go. He knew when to go. It was the time of the Passover. He knew, you know, what they need to bring to him and the questions that people will ask. It's very interesting. The Lord knew everything that is going to happen. He knew the time that he should enter into Jerusalem. He knew that he needs to go on a colt, my friend, and the questions that will be asked. One of the first things I realized from this particular incident, I see that Jesus is so sovereign. Our God is a sovereign God. He has control of everything, my friend. Jesus did not enter Jerusalem just by accident. He knew when and how he should enter. You know, it's very interesting. Some scholarship or some Bible teachers will say that Jesus simply made arrangements. In a natural way, he would have spoken much more earlier to the owner, saying that he needed the colt. But when you look at the passage very carefully, you realize the tone of the passage is different. That God has control over everything, my friend. Even in the event, if Jesus would have actually arranged, one thing comes out very clearly, that God makes everything, he makes every arrangement in advance for you and I, my friend. You know, what is so comforting to know that God knows everything and God is so sovereign and he knows the path that is before us. And that's why Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 2, he says, I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. That's what the Lord promises, my friend. There's his presence, not only is with us, but he will go before us and make the rough places smooth. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 30, a very common passage that we read, the Lord said, the Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf. What a comforting word. What an encouraging word to know that the God that we worship is a God who knows everything, my friend. So the Lord knows the path that we should take in our lives. When God directs us, when the Lord leads us, he knows the time, he knows when and how, and he will lead us, my friend. So what are we supposed to do when God is leading us? There are sometimes when we don't understand, but when we are faithful to God, when we exercise faith in him, when he leads us, we are called to do A couple of things. Firstly, we are called to obey Him. No matter what, God wants us to obey Him. And that's what exactly the disciples did. They could have said, Lord, why are you asking us to do this? And Jesus wanted them obedience. That's Christian life. God leads us. He leads us to sometimes to the path we don't understand. But when God leads us, He is with us. We can trust His word. And secondly, what is our position? Not only we obey, but we need to obey in confidence, knowing that God is in control and He knows what is best for us, my friend. And when we obey, it's always important for us to obey with thankfulness, because everything works out for good for those who please Him. And that is one of the important things that we learn from Palm Sunday, that His presence goes before us, my friend. And God wants us just to obey Him, place our confidence in Him, and always live a life of thankfulness. And so as we are worshiping God, as in our Christian walk, my friend, the Lord just wants us to obey, because He knows the way. He knows the path. He has plans for us. He has plans always to be with us and also to guide us. Secondly, you know, when the second lesson or application that we read from this particular passage is true faith perseveres. True faith perseveres. Let me read verse 8. It says, many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread their branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted. And these were the words they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, O Lord, save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. You know, when you look at the words, you realize it's a group of people, the multitude of people who just recognize the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the way the hymn goes. They were saying, Lord, save us, because you're the only one who's able to save us. When you look at the surface, you know, you realize, I think they are people who are full of faith. That's the impression that we get. We feel they were so excited, they would give their lives for God, for this Jesus. We see that kind of excitement in them. But sadly, before the end of the week, what has happened? The same group of people, or quite a number of the same people here said, crucify him! Crucify him! What has happened to the excitement? What has happened to their celebration, my friend? On a moment, they were saying, Lord, we praise you. Hosanna. The other moment, they were saying, crucify him. What a radical change that has happened in their life. You know why? One of the main reasons is because they expected the Messiah. They expected Jesus to establish David's kingdom. In other words, to overthrow the political powers of those days. They wanted Jesus to bring about a political revolution. It's not about forgiveness of sin. It's about my agenda. Lord, this is what we want you. Jesus, this is what we want you to do for us. We just want you to overthrow the kingdom of the Romans. And we want you to establish our kingdom. That was their desire. Because Jesus did not do that, because this is not the Jesus they were longing for, they said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. It teaches us another important lesson, my friend. You know, we can also be caught in a crowd like this. When there are certain, when things are not happening in the way that we want, there are times that we take a step back, or even we backslide in our religious, in our Christian walk. But we are called to persevere. We are called to persevere in our faith. There are numerous examples in the Bible we see people just persevering in their faith. One great example is Joseph. When he was 17 years old, you know, young man, God gave him dreams. But what happened? He was sold by his brothers to the Egyptians. But for 13 years, this young man was, you know, focusing on God, on the purpose of God, and God finally. And he persevered, my friend. He could have questioned God and said, "Why, Lord, you have allowed all these things in my life?" Joseph knew very well the God who gave him a dream would someday, somehow fulfill that dream in his life. He persevered. Nothing could take him away in his faith. Imprisonment, or even, you know, he was sold, or even rejected or betrayed. He was firm in his faith. And that's what, you know, the passage teaches us. Palm Sunday teaches us that true faith perseveres. True faith in the Lord Jesus Christ perseveres. James speaks about it. In James chapter 1 verse 4, "Let's perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing." Dear friends, I think it's important for us to ask ourselves. Yes, there are moments in our life we struggle to persevere in our faith. There are moments we say, "Lord, I have faith in you." But when we go through a different kind of experiences in our life, particularly a valley kind of an experience or dryness that hits us, my friend, what happens? We begin to slow down, or even, you know, to fall back from loving God, even having faith in God. Is there something that we need to do? Is it something that God wants you to do that you can be strong in your faith? I was reading about the story of, you know, David Wilkinson, the pastor, who wrote this interesting book called The Cross and the Switchblade, right? He was and there was one day, and God convicted him. He convicted him in such a way that David Wilkinson, you know, he gave his time of relaxation. That was an evening time. He gave that time so that he could spend time seeking God. He gave the time that he will always relax to seek God. And when you read his life, when he gave that particular time to God, seeking him, the Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke to him, and you know, history will tell you, because he responded to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know, David Wilkinson was able to establish the Teen Challenge, my friend. He gave his time because he knew he need to persevere enough in his faith. He need to trust God more. He need to be giving himself to God. You know, lastly, one of the last applications that we see on Palm Sunday, we see that Jesus, on the next day, it says in verse 15 in Mark chapter 11, the next day, what happens when Jesus reaches Jerusalem on the next day? He entered the temple courts and began driving those who were buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers. And what's happening here? You know, Jesus is just overturning, and he would not allow them to carry on merchandise throughout the temple courts. And he taught them, he said, "It is not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." You know, Jesus is cleansing the temple, because the temple of God was a place of worship. The temple of God was a place where people were there to seek God, to have a relationship with God, to call upon God, and to place their sacrifices. But this place had been turned to the desires of the people. They were focusing on money, not on God. They were focusing on profits, my friend, not on God. When I look at this past event, I see another important lesson that God is teaching us, that we need to be cleansing our temple. You know, our own temple. The word of God tells us that, You know, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And God's Spirit resides in us when we believe, when we exercise faith in Him. And we read that Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, he says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God?" You know, and we are the temple where the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us, my friend. You know, when Jesus comes and sees our life, will He overthrow some of the things that we have given much more importance in our life? We have replaced, you know, worship with other things. Will our temple, will our lives please God? I think it's important for us to ask, is there a particular area in our life that needs cleansing? Many of you would know, you know, some of the, you know, in terms of housework. And God wants us to, you know, cleanse our temple. If you're familiar with housework, what are the things you do? Firstly, you clear the debris, right? You make sure whatever junks are there need to be taken away. Likewise, I think it's important for us to take stock of our life and to see what are the things that have not been pleasing God. Things that need to be taken away from our life that have been a hindrance in our Christian walk. Secondly, you know, when you clean your home, what do? Not only you take away the debris that are found, but you also apply. You apply whatever thing that is needed to clean the place. But here, we need to apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, because it's only the blood of Jesus that is able to forgive us from all our sins. No other things, my friend, can cleanse our lives. No other ism or ideology can make us perfect. It's only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus is able to help us. Lastly, what do? When we do house cleaning, not only we just apply the blood, we keep on scrubbing. In other words, it teaches us that we keep on scrubbing. We allow the Spirit of God not only to take residence in our life, but we allow the Spirit of God to continue to speak to us each and every moment, my friend. We allow ourselves to the refining work of the Holy Spirit in us. We need to be asking the Spirit of God to help us each and every day. I know many of you are familiar with this word called spring cleaning. It's not spring cleaning, my friend. It's an everyday thing. Every day we surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit and asking, "Lord, be with me, O God, and help me." Yes, these are some of the lessons that we learned from Palm Sunday, that the Lord knows the path. He knows the path that is before us. He wants us to persevere in our faith. True faith perseveres. And He wants us to keep our temples clean. And it's only possible by the Lord Jesus Christ. I came across this story and I thought I will close by sharing this story. This story was written by Gail MacDonald. And Gail MacDonald tells a story about two little girls. One was Denise, and the other was Maria. And they were playing around the pond. And one day, Denise fell into the pond while the two were playing. And Maria, you know, managed, even though she was a young little girl, she grabbed the long hair of her friend, Denise, and helped her until others were able to bring her out of the pond. She was so happy. But the press came to know about it. They came to pick up the story or even to interview her. And to find out, you know, she had been so wonderful in her help. And so she wanted to know. And they asked her, you know, what has changed in your life from this incident? And Maria replied, sadly, she said, Dennis won't play with me anymore. She says, I pulled her hair. She won't play with me anymore. She says, I pulled her hair. You know, Maria was just helping a friend and saving her life. But a friend thought that she was pulling her hair. You know, sometimes, you know, we feel likewise, that God is pulling our hair, is causing pain in our life. You know, why God has allowed these things? We have questions, we have doubts, but God says, I'm doing this because I want to save you. I'm doing this because I want to lead you according to my path, because I have much more greater plan in my life. I am doing this because I want your faith to persevere. I'm doing this so that your house, your life will always will be present with me dwelling there. And so it is important for us, my friend, in these days, to continue to trust and obey, like the hymn writer who said, trust and obey, there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. And so, on this Palm Sunday, let's say, Lord, I just know that whatever you are doing for my life, you have much more greater plan. Plans, O Lord, to bless me. So, Lord, help me to have the spirit of obedience and have confidence in you. Help me, Lord, to persevere in my faith. Not like the crowd. They were saying, Hosanna. Another couple of days they said, crucify. But Lord, help us to persevere, God. No matter what happens in our life, to persevere. And help us, Lord, that our lives will always have the Spirit of God in us, just living and dwelling in us. Let's pray, my friend. Let's pray that this Palm Sunday, the Lord will come and have residence in our life. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given to us, O God. We thank you because you came. Lord, we pray, Hosanna, save us now. Fill us now and use us now. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.